Good morning again, girls and boys. I want to play another part of the sermon I preached 35 years ago on Psalm 126 and the verse 3. That verse reads, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Today I want to try to point out how that the great thing that God has done for mankind brings from Calvary's cross. That's the fountainhead of all good that men enjoy. Listen carefully as we set this truth out here in this extract.
The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Where's Calvary? Calvary is the fountainhead of all goodness, all benefits enjoyed by all men flow from Calvary's cross. Without Calvary's cross, my friend, God could not have given to man one benefit. Without Calvary's cross, God could not have done for us one good thing. Without Calvary's cross, there was nothing that God could do toward us other than judgment. Do you realize that? Do you realize that without Calvary's cross, all we could expect from the hand of God was the crushing weight of His eternal wrath? But God devised the means whereby He could be merciful, whereby He could be gracious, whereby He could be tender, whereby He could be loving toward the sinner who had defied His law and deserved His wrath. And the means that God devised was to send His Son in the form of man and for man to die on the cross. Take all the wrath that was due to man and bear it, and thus open up a way whereby God could be gracious unto His people. But it's not only His people. All men benefit from Calvary. Turn to the first epistle of Paul to Timothy. And the verse 8 reads, of chapter 4 that is, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." There's a great sermon there, you know. Godliness is profitable unto all things. If you're a farmer, it'll profit you to be godly. If you're a businessman, it will profit you to be godly. If you're a housewife, if you're a school attender, it will profit you to be godly. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Why? For it has the promise of the life that now is. Godliness will bring you into the fullness of this earthly life. Godliness will open doors in this earthly existence so that you enjoy to the full God's bounty. But it doesn't just extend to the life that now is, but of the life which is to come. The profitableness of holiness. Think on it, my friend. But it's something I want to press on with. Verse 9, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." He's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. There is a distinction there between those that believe and the rest of all men. Now, how is God the Savior of all men, since there are many, many, many who will not be saved eternally, but will perish everlastingly and go to hell? He is the Savior of all men, in so much as all men benefit from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Now there's a message there in itself. It would take time to expound it, but my dear friend, let me say this, that the Lord Jesus, by undertaking the role of the Redeemer, provided men with a life of opportunity. If Christ had never entered into the covenant of redemption, then men would never have had a life to live. They would have been cut off. Humanity would have been cut off in Adam. But God permitted Adam to live because there was the promise of the coming Redeemer who would stand in and pay the price of Adam's sin and the sins of all the people of the covenant. And therefore God allowed Adam to live, and allowed Adam's offspring to live, and allowed the world to go on. I think that we need to look around us and see men enjoying life. See men having the opportunity of coming and hearing the gospel. See men having the opportunity of entering into heaven. Is this not a benefit that springs from Calvary? For if Calvary had not existed, men would not have such opportunities. Perhaps I can best demonstrate it by reminding you that when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the earth and walked amongst men, there were those who believed in Him and received Him as their Savior. But they were not the only ones to benefit from His presence. For there were others who were healed of diseases, and they didn't believe in Jesus. There were those who sat down and they ate the miraculous meal of the fishes and the bread, and they weren't saved. Was this not a benefiting from Christ by men other than and as well as the believers? And it is in this sense, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. Out there, men whose deeds cry out to God for damnation. The drunkard, the blasphemer, the adulterer, the ungodly, who defy God. Why is it that God doesn't cut them off immediately? Calvary. 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 Calvary's love in the heart of the people of Calvary who pray to God for this old world. It's the pleading of the cross before the throne of God that preserves the world. Preserves the world. We would have been cut off in our sin if someone had not prayed for us. And so it is with the world. Oh, the world, all of the world, the unbelieving world, the heathen world, benefits from the hand of God. Those benefits flowing out to the world through Calvary's cross.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that part of the sermon, and that you learned that we owe everything to the Savior dying upon the cross. I hope to play another part of the sermon the next time that I'm with you. The Lord bless you today, and goodbye.